Okay. Put a path in my pictures around and my working picture.
I'm sorry, before you start, 20 minutes, and what are the warning time?
Yeah, 5 minutes. Thank you.
5 and 1 is great.
Yeah. Okay. I was a skinny kid, and sometimes I was self-conscious about being skinny. People were self-conscious of being fat. And my father used to call me Skinny the Link. I loved my father, but that hurt. And I was looking at my wedding picture last night. And in those days, well, my day, I suppose, my husband, I said, you're supposed to ask my father if you can have my hand. He says, I want all of you. And so I said, Chaz, it's father respect. And so he said to my father, he wanted to marry them. Me and my father said, Jim, give her everything she wants and you both be very happy. So that was the truth. And anyway, he didn't know what he was in for. But it was, 65 years we were married when he died. But anyway, how I came in. In 1977, one of my sons was in a terrific accident, a car accident. 5 teenagers were in the car. The car was wrapped around a tree, and the jostle wife had to get them out. And my son was on the bottom, and the first kid, and he was dead, so the jostle wife had to get him out. That was in 1977. And when my husband, he was a policeman at the time, they called him at the station, and he went to the hospital where my son was. And I waited up all night, and my other kids, they were at overnight. And my husband, before he would go to the station, he'd pick up a dozen from D.C. So after a long time, my husband came through the door, and I said, did you get the dozen up the road? When I told my sponsor, I said, I can't believe I did that. She said, I can. You're like a drunk who picks up a drink. It's the first thing you go for. So anyway, the woman who brought me in, I used to ask how she was doing. And she'd say, don't ask. This was a year from the day of that accident. And I said, suppose I'll ask her how she was doing. So I did. And I said, how are you doing? And she said, I'm doing great. I'm in OA. And I said, oh, what is that? She looked right at my eyes and she said, Ginger, it's the people who have a problem with food. I said, I don't have a problem with food. I like to look. It's no problem. And she said, no, you eat over what's eating you. And she had to do a lot of things. And she always complained. But whenever she said she was doing great, right there it was a personality change, which I didn't realize. So she said, I'm going to a meeting on Wednesday night. I'll take you, but she knew I used to want to go to Bakersfield all over the place. And so that Wednesday night, she packed the cab. It was the same hospital that my son was in intensive care a year later. And I heard things that I could identify. The woman who qualified, she had a necklace on. And she said, this necklace used to be up near my neck, and it was down, right down, past her shoulders. She had lost 10 to weight. I didn't go in for, I didn't lose a lot of weight. I had gone to my doctor, and he said, you're right on borderline diabetic. And it's in my family, my father had it. And he said, you're right on the end. I took diet pills and fluid pills when I gained a little bit of weight, but I loved the sensation of the diet pills because you were revved up, you could get housework done. I was crazy with them. And what happened, I couldn't believe I was 154 pounds when I went to that doctor. I was so used to being, you know, a regular weight, and I just zoomed right up. All the food caught up with me, and I started wearing girdles, which was excruciating in the summer. And I remember when I was single, I wore a Playtex girdle, and my husband was starting to date me, and he was waiting for me. And my sister said, she'll be right out as soon as she gets her hand out of the girdle, because my hand was stuck in the girdle. It was one of those rubber things. So, you know, but anyway, when I came into program, my sponsor, that night at that meeting, I got the sponsor, and she told me what I was going to eat, and I had nothing she wanted in my house. So the Star Market, the store, was open till midnight most days, and she took me to the market, and she showed me this white stuff in a container, which I never, ever ate. And she said, this is what you're going to eat. No flour, no sugar, no caffeine, all this stuff. And when she said, no caffeine, I said, well, I drink black coffee. She said, and I said, I'm not crazy about it. She said, good, because you're not going to have it. So that was it. And I'm so she gave me the right that I told you when to call her. And I was willing to do it. I wasn't crazy about it. My husband, my aunt, used to call and say, I can never get a hold of Ginger. And he said, I don't know if she's either on her knees, on the phone, or in front of the scale. So he said, I don't know what she's doing. But she'd eaten vegetables, which was, oh my God. So I did it. And that son up the road, he got into alcohol and drugs. And I had to tell him, unless he went into a program, he couldn't live in the house. And And he left, and overnight he went somewhere on Route 1. And my husband was real upset because when he was on the drugs and everything, he tried to get them help. And my son came. I had been in the program probably for a couple of weeks, and I told him he would have to leave if he didn't go into recovery. So when he came back from the next morning, you have to be in all night, and he said, I want help. And so that's when my program kicked in, and I knew I had to stay abstinent no matter what. I got into a step group, the 12 steps, and I found it said in this week in the reading, the steps are a stairway to God. And that's when I knew that this program was very serious, very important. And my weight came off, and it came off too quick. And I had to work with the sponsor to add back healthy food. Still on my food plan, but she helped me because she had a problem to increase, where to increase, what to take out, what to add in. And I was on my way, but I can't do this program without working the steps. I do all the tools. I couldn't wait to sponsor. And in those days, you could be 21 days to sponsor. And I went to a meeting, and this woman was there. And she was heavy, and she was kind of behind a post in the room. And I went over to her, and I said, I can sponsor you. She said, I don't want you for a sponsor. I was heartbroken. I said, oh, my goodness. The next week, I went back, and she said, I suppose I'll take you for a sponsor. I was so excited. I worked with her for quite a while. I helped her to shop for a mother of the bride's dress. And when she walked down the aisle, I didn't even look at the bride. I saw her come down. She looked so beautiful. I was so proud of her. It was as I did it for her, but I knew I had to stay humble. I sponsored her for a long time. And then one day she didn't call. I went to find out. I still don't know what happened to her. That it was very sad for her. For me, I still don't know what happened. I called her house. There was no answer. So anyway, I sponsor people. I tell them to do what I do. I expect them to call me on time and do the things that I do, and did that help me. So I had to work with a sponsor to gain more weight, because I was a mother of 5 teenagers, and I was too tall then. So I needed to have a helping program, but I did a lot of crazy things in the food. I told my daughter to mind my kids after she got out of school. My kids were young then, because I had something very important to do, and it was a place that was new in Quincy, famous sweet place. And I told my husband, you know, I'm going to go into Raymond's Boston to get a fake Christmas tree. I said, because at least we'll know we have the Christmas tree. In those days, it came in a box. And so I took the train with an idea that I was going into the North End to this famous place there. And it was down the alley behind this place, Raymond's, who had everything discounted, and they had the big Christmas tree. And I was pregnant with my last daughter, my fifth daughter, and very pregnant. She was going to be born in December. This was close to the end of November. And I got the Christmas tree. I was pregnant, and you could, like, the poor soul walking through Boston, very pregnant with this box, walking down the alley to this sweet place. When I walked in, I said to the woman, whatever you do, don't let me leave without this. It's a Christmas tree. And I sat at the table, had what I needed, went to get the train, walked up the stairs of the train, and sat
5 minutes?
My husband let me use the car, and I parked it at the train station. So the bus, when it stopped, I have a bus stop across from my house, and that's when we lived in Sunnyvale. And I said to the woman, whatever you do, don't let me get that box. I took the box, went on the train with it, and I went on the bus with it, walked up the stairs to my house. My husband had a part-time job. He was waiting for me. My sister had the kids. He walked downstairs, and he yelled up from the hall, Ginger, where's the car? I left the car at the train station. I said, well, I got the Christmas tree. And it was, that's how crazy I was. And I am like a drunk with the booze. And when I first went to the meetings, I was new, and when people said, I have a problem with food, I remember to say it to the person who brought me, how she stood me up. She's dead now. God bless her. How she put up with me. I said, I don't have a problem with food. I love food, you know. She said, Ginger, in a couple of more meetings, you'll get it. She was very patient with me, and my sponsor was too. But I never regretted one day of being there. My son, I stood in with him at meetings, his meetings. I went to my meetings. I was very busy. And I did attend my husband, because I was married. Program helped me with everything, with my job. I've made an amends. Next week, I go to a brother that I've made an amends to. It's his birthday, and his daughter, who, because of the amends, I'm very close to my niece, and I'm going to that party next week. And I'll wish him the best. And just, you know, be there and love him just the way he is, because I have to accept myself also. But this program heals us from the inside out. It's just, I have a healthy weight now. My sponsor thinks I should have a little more weight, and I do it for you with therapists. I can do the best I can. I'm healthy. I just had an eye injury. They don't know what's going to happen. But again, everybody has stuff. I don't like it. I have to accept it for now. I have to use common sense. I have a walker, which my son got at Costco. And he's a policeman, and he said, if I see you walking with that walker, I'm going to arrest you. And are you going to be stressed?
One minute.
But this program, it gives you a life, they say, second to none. I'll be 88 in November, and I don't feel like I'm very healthy, other than it's high. And I learned that God has a reason for whatever happened, and I have to accept what I can't change. Oh, God. And just live gratefully and look for the good. When you look for the good, there's so much. And the worst things that happen sometimes turn out for the best because we depend on God and we pray more and we live life the best we can. So I never regretted one day of being in this program. If you knew, people have lost tons of weight but gained so much in life. So I love my sponsees and all of my, especially for the people who've done search for me over the years. So it's service. I put a plug in for that, but I'm grateful for everybody who's done service for me and their planning. So I have a long story, but it's a crazy story. It's a tragic story. But my gratitude is humongous in a day at a time. So if you knew, just keep coming. You'll hear what you need.
Thank you.